Acts chapter 21. Acts 21. This is Acts chapter 21. We are going into our study groups. By now, we know how we roll. We have five round tables, and we have leaders around each table. And let us celebrate our leaders tonight. I hope all our leaders are here. So we have, please, as I call their names, just celebrate them. You can scream, you can shout, you can roll on the floor. Just celebrate them. So we have, this is our leaders tonight. Now, where is our list now? So please, all the leaders, make sure you've located yourselves on each table. We have five leaders. So we have, please get ready to celebrate them. We have Uncle Charles. We have Dr. Jumoke. We have Dr. Ebu. We have Uncle Ezekwe. And we have Uncle Gift. So I hope all of them are strategically located on each table. And then we have Comfort and Ify. Please celebrate them. They are my leaders. We don't leave them out. Yes, thank you for celebrating them. Oh, you are celebrating your own leader. Okay, let's leave that. Okay, Acts chapter 21. I hope we all have the outline. I will read, as usual, and then your leader will read to you. And please, the whole idea is to listen as we read. Anything at all that strikes your mind or anything that occurs to you, please note it. The end of this study is three things. What can you learn from this passage? Two, what are you going to start doing as a result of what you're learning from this passage? And then number three, what are you going to do today, tonight, before the day breaks? You've got to make up your mind to take an action. Because on each table, we are holding ourselves accountable. So we will hold ourselves accountable to whatever we decide that we're going to do. So the leaders know how to do that. So tonight's study is titled, please, can I have an outline? Can I have a spare outline somehow? I don't know, I forgot to bring my own outline. So we are reading Acts 21, 15 to 26. Acts 21, 15 to 26. So I'll just read and then I'll hand over to the leaders. Holy compromise, just to give it a topic. And verse 15 says, after these days, we got ready and we went up to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we should lodge. When we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God. And they said to him, you see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed? They are all zealous for the law. And they have been told about you, that you teach all zealous. Sorry, they've been told about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men. I'm waiting for one of the leaders to listen. We have four men. Please don't worry. Just leave the children alone. Let them have fun. Let them talk. Leave them alone. You just let's focus. Let me tell us something that occurred to me as I was reading about children. You know how we worry and worry and worry when our children are not responding or not talking. So what came to me is that, which one will you choose, that your child is not talking or your child is talking? So if your child is talking, please just leave the child, let the child talk. You just listen. Amen. I'm talking from a place of pain. All right, where did I stop? Where did I stop? This is a test to see if you are listening. Verse 23. Okay. All right, let me read back from when they started talking to Paul. They said to him, I went back to verse 20. You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed? They are all zealous for the law, and they have been told about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads. Thus, all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them and went into the temple, giving notice when the days of purification will be fulfilled and the offering presented for each one of them. Holy compromise, Acts chapter 21, 15 to 26. Just to kick us into the discussion and the study, please, as our leaders will read to us again, or whoever is appointed to read that passage, whatever strikes you, note it. And then let us especially note that Paul was advised to do something in this passage. So let's take note of that. And what can we learn from the advice he was given? And then think about yourself with respect to when you get such advices that will actually probably make you to want to compromise a bit. Okay, happy studying. I hand over to the leaders. I will be back to join us in 20 minutes. Okay, enjoy the study. And those online, sorry that you couldn't make it here, but join us online and contribute, please. So we'll be reading whatever people type online, and they can participate. So what can you learn from this passage? What occurred to you? What are you going to start doing? And what decision, what are you going to do tonight? Amen. Amen. I know the discussions are going on, which is lovely. We don't want to stop. That's the whole idea. We don't want to. So let this trigger our curiosity, our hunger, our thirst to go search more. So accountability time. I give us just a minute, just around the table. What are you going to do tonight about whatever you've learned? So what you're going to do, we can come back to that, but just everybody must make a decision and commit to that decision, and then you ask them, did they do it next week when we gather? Next week is communion, okay. We may not. All right. So just think about it. You are going to make a decision. You are going to do something.
Became all things. This was an example of Paul being all things.
So please, let's listen now. It's time to listen.
He had to, for the sake of peace, come to a compromise. But those things he did, he came to a compromise because...
Okay, your speaker is not giving... Is he not giving what is discussed? Okay, it's not. Okay.
Okay. And second thing that we...
No, the first thing, they don't agree with the first thing. So don't go to the second. Okay, please, can somebody... You tell...
What we learned was we saw an example of Paul.
Yeah.
Exhibiting what he said in another part of the scripture, that he became all things to all men, that to the Jews, I became as a Jew,
okay,
so that I could win the Jew. So this was a practical example of Paul doing that.
Okay.
And then what we also learned was that we should be sensitive to people around us.
Yeah.
When we're among circles of believers, what are the things that those believers believe, which may not be fundamental, but if we are a bit flexible, we can worship with them.
That's right.
And then the glory of God will move forward rather than causing friction.
Friction and divisions and denomination. Yeah. And yeah, based I'm of on Paul. I don't believe in baptism. I believe in baptism. You do all that, okay?
Then we also learned that communication is key. The elders communicated with Paul that, this is in this particular place. This is what pertains. Will you be able to do this? And then what we learned also was that Paul was humble enough to take what they said on board, even though he might have been seen as a superior to them.
I have to stop you there, so we move to another table. We might get back to you. Thank you for that. Thank you. So that I'm just mindful of time. Okay? That table is ready?
Yeah. Okay.
Very good points from this table. Very good points.
Yes, some of our points have been said out already.
Yeah,
so
just say the ones that have not been said.
Yeah, in verse 15.
Please, listen, please.
Yeah.
Listening skills. Yeah, go on.
In verse 15, the first line.
Okay.
That's where we pick up first points. We could see that Paul, he prepared himself through prayer before going to Jerusalem, where he said that after these days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. So I believe that we believe on our table here that he prepared himself through prayer. He seeked the face of God before he embarked himself on this journey.
Okay.
And we saw a great humility in Paul. That's why he was able to listen to the elders. So, and we saw that there was a communication between Paul and the elders. There was great unity. He was able to go extra mile, even to win them to Christ, by even shaving his head. So he was doing these things, but at the back of his mind, he knew why he was doing them, which is to win them to Christ.
That's
so
right.
He was able to bend low to their level so that he'd be able to win them to Christ.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's quickly move to another table. Any table ready? Ready, steady, go.
Praise God. We learned quite a lot on our table. I think one of the things we talked about was giving a detailed account of what, you know, Paul had given a detailed account of what God had done through him, and he raised the issue about being accountable to other people, to fellow believers, and all of that. Again, another thing was he chose to obey. I think preceding that was the bit. one of the things that was talked about here was how after Paul had given all the account, rather than sort of receiving acknowledgement or being commended for his all of his works, rather it was about the issue about what people had said and what had to be done. Mm. And the natural reaction is you could be discouraged or you could be ticked off about it.
Or be defensive.
That's right. Rather what he chose to do was to obey. And by that, he actually led by obedience. Mm. And he displayed flexibility with that. And I think one of the other things that we talked about was really from that we learned a lot. It's referring to that same scripture where Paul said he was all things to all men. It was like he had an ability to make contact without being contaminated. So his core values were really still there, but he chose to be flexible. And he respected the diversity because he didn't necessarily know these four men that had made the vow, but he still chose to obey and to go. And we're talking about being in situations where we can reach out to other people,
right?
Engage with them, but being careful not to shift your focus, that your core beliefs and your core values have to come out.
Contact without contamination. I think I'll hold that there.
One other
Please, one more quickly,
more
so that we have two.
About engaging, that the only way you can engage with people and actually speak out is by speaking out. That Paul could have chosen to keep quiet and not give a detailed account of himself. Meanwhile, these people already had an opinion because from what they said, people have heard you've said this, you've said that. But if Paul had kept quiet, hadn't given a detailed account, there was no way that the elders and the people present would have actually changed their opinion of him and come up with a strategy. So we talked about the importance of reaching out, even within the church, reaching out, speaking with people, and not just being by yourself.
Okay, thank you. All right, which table is ready? Thank you very, very much. Lovely, lovely conversation. You see, we can't really take everything you've discussed amongst yourself. That's the whole idea of the study. You know, you've steered each other, you've encouraged, you've sharpened each other. We can't say everything, but just take everything on board. You know, it's for your own personal growth. Yes, which table is ready? So don't worry if you can't say everything but it's for your table, for the people on your table. Yeah.
More or less like a repetition because they've said almost all the things.
Okay,
want
pick
to say,
the ones they didn't say.
Well, we just summarize it this way that Paul listened.
Listened?
Paul listened to the elders.
Okay.
The elders. That word elders is quite important because in other part of the scriptures, we noted that this same Paul at some point had to even challenge one of the elders, which was Peter.
That's right.
You sometimes when you paraphrasing, when you see the Jews, you act like
differently.
You don't know the Gentiles. He called them out. So this is a Paul. Even reading that scripture, like I was saying to the bread and here on my table, like I just thought, no chance. Paul is not going to shave his head. But reading down, we found that Paul actually, on this occasion, succumbed and did what the elders advised him. So for once, Paul, had to be everything for everyone.
Wasn't rigid.
He listened to the elders, and that was the key word there. He listened to the elders, and our brother here, Sil was telling us about how Paul is highly educated, learned, that where he was schooled would be compared to what we would call Cambridge.
That's right.
And the Harvard University of today. That Paul knew more, a lot more than the elders, but on this occasion, he listened to the elders.
Thank you very much for that. He knew so much, but the knowledge didn't puff him up. He still humbled himself. Have we had a... Okay, yes, quickly.
Our first point was focused on also listening to the elders, but when you listen to the elders, you also have to be very discerning as well. You need to know when to listen to them and when not to listen to them. Also. Mm.
So when should you not listen to them?
So you have to be very discerned. So for
when
they ask you to go and if an elder tells you to go and kill somebody,
if an elder tells you to
go and kill somebody
to sin,
then
basically,
you wouldn't do that. Yeah.
Okay, so don't listen to an elder when they tell you to sin.
Yes, to sin.
But they're not necessarily telling Paul here to sin.
No.
Okay.
It's just one of the lessons.
All right, quickly. Two more.
Also,
two more.
It's good to also share our testimonies to encourage
share your
others.
Testimonies.
Because if you don't share your testimony, then others
share
could be discouraged.
Thank you, sir.
And we should also be selfless Christians and not be selfish Christians. Don't let us just worry about our own faith and getting saved. We should also worry about other people as well, getting saved as well.
Okay. All right, let's listen to Comfort. You've shared three things. Comfort, just give them raw.
At first, I was judging Paul because I felt like he was going back on what he said when they were discussing like circumcision and whether not to. And then later on, when we read, I think, verse 19 of Romans 14, I understood. Was it 9? First.
Okay, which one? Which scripture?
Romans 14. So it's Romans 14 where it says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. And then it also, and then earlier it spoke about not judging your brother, you know. So I was like, okay, I can't judge Paul. And then when we read 19, I understood why he did what he did. And then when we were reading about I became all things to all men, I was like, yeah, but Jesus didn't become. Then I caught myself. I was like, okay. There was a sermon that was preached where pastor spoke about Jesus coming and then him not coming in a conventional way. Like, obviously, his parents weren't married when his mom had him. His dad is God, obviously. So, in like legally, his term is a bastard. Like, he's a bastard. So, he would be able to. No, he would be able to relate with those who are fatherless. Born out of wedlock. Yeah.
Conceived out of wedlock.
So he was all things to all men.
That's okay. Thank you, everybody. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You see, please don't let this conversation stop here. You know the people on your table. Please discuss more, sharpen one another more. So accountability. So what decision? What is somebody going to do tonight? So you can quickly, okay, you want to say something? Question, oh yes. Any contribution online? Question online? Okay, the online people. Yes, question.
Pastor, I was just wondering that the...
Please, let's listen.
Paul's action here.
Yeah.
Was it born, because if you look at last week, we had two predictions about what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem.
Yep, prophecies.
Prophecies,
yep.
About the fact that he'll be bound and he may not come back. So in my mind, I was thinking that did that also influence the way Paul responded to what the elders said? So maybe at the back of his mind, he still, because it was just two verses before this one.
That microphone is breaking. Can you give him another one, please? Okay.
It was two verses before verse 15,
yep.
Where the last prophecy came on. So in my mind, if it was me, I was thinking that maybe that would also influence the mindset as to how you receive what people say. Because the elders were trying to say, okay, so that there won't be trouble here and the people will not react to him, that he should do some things. In my mind, I'm asking that, did that also influence his decision?
Okay, could that possibly also have influenced the decision? Probably, yeah. Now, the table there said something, and I love what they captured from the very first verse about being ready. After this, we got ready. Paul was prepared through the prophecies, through the things he's gone through, you know, the missionary trips. Definitely. What we hear influences us. So there's a probability that that influenced his action. But, you know, capturing what everybody has said, there was a compromise that Paul had to make here. And the question we asked ourselves was it a holy compromise? What do we mean by that? Something that is not sinful. Shaved his head, identified with the Jews, And Paul explained why he had to do all this. What's that verse you captured again? Verse says he's doing this for the sake of the gospel. Maybe I might win some. So, and then one of the things we discussed in our little group there is when you look at Christianity, we can be the most divided people of faith. Why? Because I don't believe in this. I don't want this. I don't hear it. We criticize each other. We condemn each other. We attack each other. We can be so divisive. So I was saying to them there that I think when I see some things going on in the body of Christ today, then I will understand why Jesus prayed in John 17. Father, make them one. He knew when he goes, we're going to start saying I'm of Paul. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Pentecostal. Division. But Paul, from what you see, we can see here, there are times where, look, it's not about, there are some things we can compromise. We're not sinning. For example, you go into a fellowship where, for example, they believe all the women must cover their hair. And you're going there you want to reach out to them there. You say, no, I don't believe I'm in covering my hair because the Bible says the woman's hair is given as a covering, it's a glory, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going in there. They are not going to listen to you. Just because of, what will it take you to cover your hair, if I may ask? A holy compromise. Just cover your hair and go and deliver the message. Say, but that is hypocrisy. It's not hypocrisy. It's your heart you have to check. Paul balances it. I'm doing this for the sake of the gospel. Maybe I might win some. To the Jew, I became a Jew. To the Greek, I became a Greek. So, decision. Is there something you discover you are just too rigid about? And rather than reaching out to people, you are actually creating a stumbling block. When you read that Romans chapter 14, some people believe eating meat, don't eat meat. You know, all this. So some of the things we argue about at times, it's not just worth it on the long run. It's not. So holy compromise is here and there as long as we're not sinning, as long as we are not. And don't judge because our dear sister Comfort, I just loved what happened when we were fellowshipping there. Because when we started, you don't mind me saying it, she was very hard on Paul. Very, very hard. Then when we got to the, you know, studying more and reading 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul explained his actions, Romans chapter 14, she repented that, God forgive me, I've judged Paul. That is the beauty of, you know, studying the Word of God, where it influences our minds, our actions, our decisions. So, you know, let's stop judging one another in things that are not of no eternal value. Let me put it that way. We should seek for peace. We should seek for the propagation of the gospel. You know, time just fails me. I've told you about a story of a certain lady. Let me just quickly summarize it. Because she wears makeup, they nicknamed her in the fellowship, Sister Jezebel. So they gossiped behind her back until she heard. And when she heard, she didn't take offense. She just kept quiet. So one day they were doing their accounts and checking those who are loyal, faithful in the fellowship. And they found that it was only Sister Jezebel that pays her tithe regularly, that does, when it's evangelism, she's there. Anything you give her, she does. The ones who named her Jezebel could not be found faithful in anything. It is well. All right. So can we just for a minute hold ourselves accountable? What are you going to do tonight? Quickly run around the table and then we close. So we're just simply asking ourselves, what are you going to do? Please, let me say this. This is the reason, right? Any information you hear, scientifically proven, that you do not take action, you don't do something about it within 24 hours or maximum of 48 hours, is as useless as you didn't hear the information. That's why the Bible says faith without works is dead. So what are you going to do? That's the challenge. So let's go around quickly. What are you going to do within the next 24 hours? About what have you learned tonight? All right, these are leaders. Everybody must commit. We got 1 minute. Just say it here. We'll remind ourselves when we see ourselves. Accountability. Comfort. What are we going to do? So, Father, we just thank you for speaking to us individually and collectively tonight. More than anything, we thank you for building us, building our faith, sharpening one another, for iron sharpens iron. Thank you. For the gates of hell can never prevail against us. And Lord, we ask for discernment to know the things that are of eternal value and the things that we can actually compromise without sinning. Lord, we go tonight in your power, in your grace, to do what we've committed to do. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Tomorrow, 7:30, for an hour we pray, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can continue your accountability. If you've make sure you hold somebody accountable. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Within the next 24